My name is Zohar. I'm an Israeli citizen, now living in Germany. I've been involved with the Freedom Flotilla Coalition since 2012, and we are now on the Andala, the Freedom Flotilla boat that will be sailing in 2024 to Gaza to challenge the Israeli illegal blockade. And we are now moored in Bristol.
Why did you get involved in this? How come you're now here in Bristol on this ship?
Well, I was born on a kibbutz founded by Holocaust survivors. And we were told that the world was silent during the Second World War. And what I understand from this is that none of us should be silent as we watch the barbarity of, you know, the Israeli occupation and the blockade on Gaza. We should all speak up against it. And when I did live in Israel, I did participate in a lot of anti-occupation protests. But I find that we need to put pressure on world governments. And I find that the nonviolent direct action that these boats are doing, involving a lot of international activists and prominent people, as we sail towards Gaza, it highlights the complicity of the governments. Because if there was some real concern about human rights and about the freedom of the Palestinians, then governments would protest much more vigorously and put sanctions on Israel, make it accountable for its crimes. As we sail and we are being captured by the Israelis, taken against our will to an Israeli port and accused of entering Israel illegally, where all we want to do is reach Gaza.
Last week there was an assault by the Israeli Defense Force in the West Bank and Jenin, and many people have looked at that wondering why it is that soldiers have to go in to these civilian areas. Why can't it be police arresting people? Instead, it's soldiers killing people. But the Israelis themselves say that these refugee camps, places like Jenin, have become what is called a nest of vipers, of terrorists.
We can speak about Gaza, we can speak about Palestine in general. You cannot avoid addressing the issue of the Nakba. Yes, there are refugee camps. They've been established 75 years ago, and the people living there have every right under international law to resist the occupation, to resist the fact that they're internationally recognized human rights of return to their villages occupied by Israel in 48 is not being implemented. So they live in those camps, they suffer under Israeli occupation, and when they dare to resist, they are being called terrorists. I think this is really something that people should look at as a whole, as a context. And what's happening is that Gaza, for over 16 years now, has been under blockade by air, sea, and land, and this is creating ghettos, creating places where the Palestinian population is concentrated, so that it would be easier for Israel to control them. And to say that you could send policemen, no, you cannot send policemen there. It's an area occupied by military force. The people living in the West Bank, if they're not Israeli citizens who are subject to the Israeli law, they are under military occupation. The police cannot do anything with them. And this is one of the reasons why internationally renowned organizations say that Israel is an apartheid state.
Since Christmas or the new year 2023, there have been massive demonstrations also in major cities like Tel Aviv by Israeli citizens. But they're not protesting for the rights of the Palestinians. What's going on there?
Okay, so the protests in Israel, they seem pretty big, and they are aimed at what they see as an attack on their democracy. But of course, this is false, because there is no democracy in Israel. And there is a small fraction within those demonstrations, and I'm being told by my family in Israel that it's growing steadily, but perhaps not fast enough, that does make the very clear connection that we wouldn't be facing dictatorship if we were not occupying another people for more than half of the time that our state exists. So this looking the occupation in the eye fraction is trying to make this connection, and they try to take part in those demonstrations in order to bring the message to the rest of the Israeli public. It's not very easy.
So we're on this ship here. What's the schedule for the next few months?
The schedule for the next few days, I would say, is to stay here in Bristol, have a lot of events. We're told that there's a harbour festival, and we hope that there will be many people interested in what we're doing. On the 19th, we sail to Southampton, and from there to Rotterdam, Hamburg, Copenhagen, Halmstad, and Gothenburg in Sweden, and then back to our home port in Oslo to spend the winter. And our plan for next year is to sail to Gaza, again, stopping in as many ports as we can along the way, protesting against government's complicity with the Israeli crimes and raising awareness and support in solidarity of the Palestinians under blockade in Gaza. And we do believe that, as happened in the past, we will be intercepted by Israeli Navy forces in international water. They do not want us to get close. They have a gas conduct going through Palestinian territorial water from the Israeli platforms to El Arish in Egypt. And nobody will say this, but this is really what they're trying to avoid, us getting close to those pipes. And, you know, we don't carry a lot of cargo with us. We don't think that what the people in Gaza ask of us is humanitarian aid. There are much better agencies to do this. And what they really need is their freedom. So we carry solidarity. We carry the boat itself. It's an old Norwegian fishing boat, and it could be used in Gaza by the fishermen there if we are allowed to pass. And basically, we try to carry solidarity from people all over.
Now, what's this you're saying about the gas? Is this a bit like the Nord Stream pipeline, that they're worried that you might sabotage their gas pipe under the sea?
I think they just have a protocol, and they have actually, I think it's a private company that patrols around this. You know, they just go with their ships, and they would not let us come near it. This is, I think, one of the reasons they would not let fishermen from Gaza go out to fish. And they have all these, as you said, excuses about smuggling, but there was no evidence of any arms being smuggled by sea to Gaza.
Some people have pointed out that the struggle between the Israeli state and the Palestinians is part of a much wider struggle between Iran and Israel, actually between China and America, because they're both on completely different sides in this conflict. Do you think that the dangers are real of a wider war if things really kick off in Israel spreading?
I think Western Asia has always been a contested area, you know. There were ancient empires that conquered it. It's the passage between Africa, Asia, and Europe. It's very interesting. It has a lot of natural resources. And, of course, there are other people looking at it. It's also very, very volatile. And there are nuclear weapons in Israel, even though nobody will say this publicly. But, yes, I think Israel is a threat to world peace.
Well, they will say that the Jews have the right to their own country, won't they?
I think Zionism, at its best, wanted to secure a safe haven for Jews, but what the Zionist state is doing is exactly the opposite.
Some people also saying that there is this kind of racism, actually, that's growing, apartheid in that part of the world.
Exactly, and I mentioned this before, there are international organizations that openly call Israel an apartheid state. There's definitely this Jewish supremacy kind of air about everything that happens in Israel now, and you can see it very, very clearly with, you know, people not wanting to rent apartments and people having difficulties in finding jobs, and the way that the Palestinian citizens of Israel are sort of being neglected by the, you know, all of the governments throughout the history of the state of Israel, and right now suffering a lot under criminal organizations, you know, all sorts of violence, internal violence, and it seems like the Israeli regime is not concerned that Palestinians have arms as long as they use them on one another. This is, yes, definitely a lot of racism, a lot of internal problems that stem from being an occupying force for so many years.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, Bishop Desmond Tutu, I remember saying that the Israeli apartheid was worse than South African apartheid because the Israelis don't want to enslave the Palestinians. They want to eliminate them. They want them completely gone.
Yes, it is. It is a settler colonialist project that aims to eliminate the native population. There are parallels with apartheid, but of course apartheid is different. It has its definition under international law, and Israel fits that definition, but it's worse in a lot of senses. And you know, they don't enslave, but they use the Palestinian population as cheap workforce that can be used when they're needed, and then all the checkpoints can be closed if at will, and then people don't have any work because it's a captive economy. It's been de-developed for over 50 years. This is why we also support the call from Palestinian civil society for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, because we believe this was fundamental in ending the apartheid regime in South Africa, and it could help if people actually listen around the world and not call this anti-Semitism, which it isn't.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the Foreign Office this week has been saying that the new law that the Conservatives are trying to pass, which is prohibiting local councils around Britain from passing boycotts on Israel, actually is unlawful under international law. So the government is being told, hang on, the Foreign Office is saying, no, you can't do this. But on a positive note, just sitting here for 10 minutes by the boat, there's quite a number of passers-by coming over, very sympathetic with the cause.
Yeah, I think people can see through these things, and I just want to encourage them not to be afraid and to say the truth. You know, this is not anti-Semitism, this is concern for human rights.
So how do people follow your trip, your journey, online or elsewhere? Obviously, people can come and visit you here. You're just along from the M Shed. The Matthew is in Bristol for a change, and the Balmoral, and then it's you if people want to come and visit. But what about following you online over the next few months?
Okay, so our website is freedomflotija.org. And we have social media on various platforms. We believe that through decentralized media like this, we could get a message that the main media doesn't want to give people. But we really believe that the direct contact with activists and people of the public here gives them an impression of what we're doing better than any social media can.
Zoha, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.